I think Andrew was saying maybe from San Luis to here there was one.
Yeah, so I saw one on the.
Oh,
we sent that, I believe. It should be. One was minimum, and the other one should be minimal. Okay, thank you.
All righty, let's call to order the November 17th Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting. And we'll have a roll call, please, Andrea.
Vice Chair Iketa.
Here.
Member Gehring.
Here.
Member Bright.
Here.
Chairman Hagman.
Here.
Member Barnage.
Here.
And Member Waggy.
Here.
Thank you very much. This is the time for public comment. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is approval of the minutes of the September 15th, 2016 meeting. And I just have a couple of grammatical things, but also a compliment on the minutes. That was a fairly complicated meeting last time, and I thought you did a great job of summarizing and getting the appropriate level of when I first looked at it, it was quite long, but then I recalled, yeah, we were quite long at the time.
That was us, not the minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So good job on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments on the minutes?
Mm-mm.
If seeing none and no public comments on the minutes, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So move.
Second.
And I always have to ask, Andre, do we roll call vote on this or just?
We do not need to do a roll call vote on this one because it's not going to the board.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm abstaining.
And one abstaining for Jim. Thanks, Jim. Okay, next item is the operations report. And we have
We have the approval of the meeting schedule for next year.
Very good.
So that's on page 13 of your packet.
So it looks
I did reach out to all of the agencies and confirm that these days would work for them. So
I just have one question. No meetings in AG. Not that it really matters, but I mean, no, I know the TAC meets there, but no advisory committee.
You know, we usually do, and normally it would be this month, and because
the
city
because
hall,
the construction.
So I think what happened was when I redid last year's,
yeah,
I inadvertently left it off, but
okay.
I can certainly see if AG is available for next year.
It doesn't, so I thought it's fair to rotate it. So.
And I totally agree. So,
yeah.
I can work something out and bring this back if you'd like.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Tentatively, we'll look at having the November 16th, 2017 meeting in AG. Is that where they
Yeah, that's
where
what
they
I'll
fit?
Ask. And then we would, just for clarification purposes, so we know when we're meeting next, we would still meet in Grover Beach on the 19th of January. That's
okay?
All right. And then I'll bring this back at that meeting.
Sounds good. Do we need a motion on this item?
Yes, we do.
Approve it?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any public comment on this item? Still no public. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, now we have the operations report.
Yes, and the way that we'll do this evening is I will read just the basic to-date information that I normally read, and then Joel Ogren will follow up with the monthly operations report and then reservoir levels. Okay, so the lake elevation to date is 458.34 feet. Storage is 11,196 acre feet. We're at 23% capacity. The rainfall to date since July 1st is 3.23 inches. The plant production is 2 million gallons a day. The terminal reservoir visibility is 3.5 feet. Downstream release is 2.1 million gallons per day, and the state water is 2.7 million gallons per day.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
Any questions from the committee? Dr. Ogren, how you doing, sir?
My dad.
Okay.
Oopsie.
I didn't mean to get so personal. Huh?
Andrea, you said the rainfall was 3.22
inches? 3.23
inches. 23.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, no questions. Turn over to Jill.
Okay, is that good? You can hear me?
Yep.
Do I need it? Let's see. So I kind of want, I thought that as she reads the general operations stuff, which is like the totals and rainfall to date, I could take this opportunity to maybe, if you had any questions about the Lopez monthly operational report for October, it summarizes the amount of water. So our total deliveries, including state water for the month of October, was 460.24 acre feet. And so at this point, we have now stored about 350 acre feet of state water. Rainfall as of October 1st was 2.77 inches, if you look at the bottom. And the other kind of number to note would be our downstream releases. So we had about 310 in the month of October, and year to date, we're at about 2,120. Any questions regarding that?
Yes, please, may I?
Please.
So then the 3.23 rainfall to date, so is that as of today?
That is beginning July 1st, and this is what I received today from our operations staff.
Okay, well, so then 3.23 is as of
that's
November
cumulative.
17th.
Yeah, that's cumulative. What the number
from
you
July
see on,
1st.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. And the number on your operations report, though, was just for the month of October.
Thank you. Mm.
The other thing I thought I would go over, since it's all related, is the reservoir storage projections chart in your packet. Which looks like this, the one with the dashed lines. So if you look at this chart, you can see that we're actually, if you were to compare where we thought we would be in terms of our 10,000 acre foot trigger, which is sort of a significant mark for the Zone 3 group, because that triggers when we reduce our deliveries, and we do it retroactively. So probably back when I came here, maybe in August or September, we were projecting that maybe in November we would hit the 10,000 acre foot mark. But we're actually we're a little bit higher than that, and part of that is that the previous charts I had showed you didn't have the actual downstream releases that we had planned and developed with the ag group. So this actually represents a little bit better projection of where we think we'll be. So at this point, we're talking about maybe February. And that does also assume a few things. One being, if you look at the bottom of the chart and you see some light blue bars, those represent projected rainfall we think we're going to get, and that's based on this long-range weather forecast. And they're one of the few websites that projects much further than, like, you know, a couple weeks or a month, so this is why we use them. So if we were to get the same amount of rainfall that they're projecting, then I would say that we would hit the 10,000 mark. Maybe it looks like February. So we just have to, if we don't get any rain, then it's very likely we would hit the 10,000 prior to that. So that's kind of how that works.
Jill, just to help us take that. So for November, the blue bar is projecting 1.7 inches of rain.
The blue bar down under November?
Yeah, November of this year.
Yeah, it looks like
1.7. And we're going
to
get that this
November.
Coming weekend, so
yeah.
Did a nice job.
Exactly. We're right on target.
That's right.
Okay. Precisely.
Just as planned.
We'll put you in charge of rain.
Rain dance, everybody.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
I have one question.
Oh.
So, Jill, the reason that we're not hitting that 10,000 acre feet mark in November is due to the rain, or due to the downstream releases being different than they
right.
were projected?
Okay. The previous charts that you had seen
okay.
were downstream releases based on how we operated the reservoir in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're getting near so close to, mm-hmm. I would say, kind of like the lower end of our water supply, we've actually had to kind of allocate and look at what we plan to take.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually mapped out with the ag representatives what they actually thought they would use,
mm-hmm.
and based on how much they had left.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just more accurate.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions you might have on this sad picture? Just to go over, I've said this before, and you probably are aware, but so the green dashed line is the actual reservoir levels. The orange line represents actually where we stand in terms of already allocated water supplies. And the other thing that this chart shows you is that the bottom line is the 4,000 acre foot, which is what we know or we believe to be minimum pool, but we are looking into if minimum pool actually is 4,000 acre feet. So the difference between that 4,000 acre foot mark and the orange line represents water that could be allocated in the next year, and it's not very much. So there's probably, you know, every year by contract, you have 4530. There's not 4530 to allocate. So that difference between the 4,000 line and the orange dash line represents water that could be allocated, if decided.
I just had a question about the state water. You mentioned there's how much, about 350 acre feet of state water in there now?
Correct.
And that's based upon the fact that we substituted state water for Lopez water or something?
No, we're actually taking more water than what was requested.
Right.
So at that, there is about 2,400 acre foot ability. That's how much all the contractors in Zone 3 have a allocation, have an entitlement to for state water, but every year they don't usually ask for all of it. So we are taking the maximum amount we can and storing that in the reservoir.
And so that if those that may want to get state water that don't have it, like Arroyo Grande or Grover Beach or something, that additional water you're bringing in could be allocated later or something.
Potentially, yeah.
It's
district. How do I want to explain this?
it's county district, water right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's district excess allocation.
Right.
Is what it is, because the downstream, the other state water project contractors didn't ask for that water.
Right. Oh, okay. Thank you.
It does, and you know, if they wanted it, they could have it, because it does belong to, you know, depending on how much.
And you're probably trying to get as much of that state water as you can. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. It helps preserve the Lopez supplies.
Sure.
Question on the minimum pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's shown as 4,000, but we have some reason to believe that we can draw down water below the 4,000 acre foot limit. And my thought was that might just be as simple as modifying the LRRP, the Low Reservoir Response Plan, through the adaptive management program that we have in there.
Yes. I think we need to look at, we need to determine where the 4,000 acre foot number came from. That's been a little bit hard to nail down. We've looked at this before. But physically, it looks like we can go below we can get water below 4,000 acre feet from the facilities we have at the dam.
And so when the LRRP was adopted, it gives this advisory board the ability to modify the delivery strategies. And right now the LRRP says zero deliveries at 4,000 acre feet, but if mm-hmm. we can physically get the water, then it seems like that would be the straightest course of action to be able to draw down below 4,000 is to do it under the LRRP.
Right, yeah, that would be one mechanism.
Of course, the water quality continues to deteriorate as low as we get, so.
All right. And we are actually, I think one of the updates under capital projects is that we are, at the end of this month, going to actually do an inspection of the last couple intakes to make sure that they actually function, because that's really what may determine whether we can take that water that's below at those intakes.
Any other comments, questions? Jim?
You know, I always thought that the 4,000 acre foot minimum pool was related to Davis Grunsky and our requirement to maintain some minimum level of water for recreation purposes while we were paying back that grant. My suspicion is it's no longer applicable.
That's my understanding.
I haven't been able to find this Davis Grunsky documents. I believe you're on the right track, and it makes sense with some of the documents I've seen, but I can't quite find the original, those documents that put the conditions on it, but that, I mean, it makes sense. It was a recreational bond, and I can see that being a condition. Mm-hmm. We'll work on that.
Jill, at the TAC, we mentioned something about looking into a barge, something like they built at Kachuma to actually pump water up into the,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you, did we ever look, what were we doing? We were trying to finance it?
No, we put that on hold because mm-hmm. that was when we thought that we did not have facilities to take the water below 4,000 acre foot. Now we know that the actual intake structures that already are in place can take us down below the 4,000, almost to possibly 17, to where there would only be 1,700 acre feet remaining mm-hmm. in the reservoir. And I suppose we could spend some more energy to find out if do we want that last 1,700 acre feet. I think at this point
right.
our money is better spent looking at some other options on drought that we are.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, unless we find out there's something wrong with those couple last outlets, mm-hmm. we don't really need to worry about it for now, sounds like.
Right, yeah, it's just kind of low priority. I would leave it on the, you know, it's still something to think about as an option, but, yeah, at the moment we're not pursuing it.
Thank you.
Question.
Mr. Gary.
We are going to dive that last intake, make sure it's there and available down to 1,700?
Yes, at the end of the month.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
and we'll bring that back to the technical advisory group at the December meeting, what we find out, so we can use that as information on next steps.
Jill, were you going to talk budget?
Nope.
That will be Christy Smith.
Oh, Christy's got that.
Somebody who actually knows something about numbers step up here right now.
Ready?
Okay. Can you hear me all right? Good evening. I'm Christy Smith from the Public Works Finance Division, and I'm here to report the fiscal year 2016-2017 first quarter budget status report for the Flood Control Zone 3. This report is for July 1st through September 30th of 2016. At 25% of the fiscal year, our expenditures totaled approximately 20% of the annual budget. In your packets, there are three graphs reflecting the first quarter budget versus the actual expenses in the three categories. The first graph displays routine operations and maintenance. At 25% of the fiscal year, expenses were 25% of the budget, resulting in $2.6 million of available balance for the remainder of the year. The second graph displays non-routine operations and maintenance. At 25% of the fiscal year, expenses were approximately 7% of the budget, resulting in an approximately $757,000 of available balance for the remainder of the year. The majority of the balance available is due to the Lopez Water Rights Habitat Conservation Plan, and it's further described in your quarterly report. The third graph displays capital outlay. At 25% of the fiscal year, expenses were approximately 4% of the budget, resulting in $492,000 of available balance for the remainder of the year. Final billing adjustments for fiscal year 15-16 have been calculated and resulted in a savings of $171,000 that will be issued as credits back to your agencies. At your last meeting, a possible use for a portion of these savings was discussed and has been placed on the agenda for action later tonight. If your committee decides to use a portion of the savings, then the fiscal year 15-16 credit memos will reflect this. The credit memos, along with the fiscal year 16-17 second installment invoices that are due January 1st, will be mailed out to your agencies tomorrow. This concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee for Ms. Smith? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right.
So we're hopping around. Is it climate update?
Climate update, yes.
Okay.
So, long story short, everything remains status quo. Our drought monitor is almost identical to what it was back in September for the Central Coast. And as far as temperatures go, we are looking at above average temperatures for November, just as we did in September. And the precipitation forecast shows that there's equal chances of having above average, below average, or normal rain levels. Just like last meeting. And that concludes my climate report.
Any questions for Andrea on that? I think this, again, reflects the good fortunes of the Northern California as far as getting above or at least average rainfall up there, which ultimately does help us, or those that have state water, at least, as far as having it back up there. So we had cloud seeding on here. Was that a verbal?
All appropriate, right? Nice segue.
Okay.
We have absolutely no rain, so let's talk about cloud seeding. I'm trying to think. I don't remember exactly. I think it's in the staff report. It was back when you, Zone 3, decided that they would put $10,000 towards a cloud seeding feasibility report. That report, along with that, the flood control district put in $10,000. So we have a draft of that cloud seeding report out. We just got it. We have staff is reviewing it. I'll be bringing it to the technical advisory committee for them to review in case you want to give any of the tech wants to give any review of it or feedback. We'll kind of get this report together, but along with that, we're also the Monterey County Water Resources is also doing sort of a cloud seeding feasibility for the Nacimiento watershed. So the cloud seeding report that we just got a draft of is actually for Lopez watershed and the Salinas Reservoir watershed. Monterey County is embarking on a similar feasibility study, and then we'll kind of pull all three together. And at that point, we'll probably take it out to all the agencies kind of for discussion, approval, next steps. It looks like, from what I've read in the first glance of the draft, is that it does have a pretty good cost-benefit ratio. Cloud seeding does. Santa Barbara County has had an ongoing program for many, many years, and they've had fairly good success. That being said, you really do have to have storms to have it be effective. So if you don't even have any storms,
It doesn't matter how much you cloud seed. So, but just the other thing to keep in mind is that this isn't something that's going to be implemented right away, because one of the big components of a cloud seeding program is your CEQA document. And until we get, so once, if all the agencies involved wanted to embark on a cloud seeding program, we would then have to move forward with developing some kind of a CEQA document and writing that up, and that could probably take a year or more. So cloud seeding is, you know, realistically, we're talking 2 to 3 years out to implement something. But it could also be one of those things that we have ready to go. So we may move forward right up and then not actually go any further until maybe we decide, you know, having your CEQA document and having a report that lays out how you go about your program, it's kind of like having something on the shelf for that day when you need it. So it may be worthwhile. We'll have to kind of see how it all plays out. I didn't give it a thorough review myself yet.
Jill, remind us again, what was the scope of the report or the study was to look at feasibility, and it sounds like a little bit on cost-benefit analysis.
Yes.
And was it the same, what firm did the report?
North American Weather, hold on, I have it right here. I believe it's...
Somebody that specializes in this kind of
work. North American Weather Consultants.
Okay.
And they are a cloud seeding program. They are a company. They have their, if you wanted to implement it, we would be going to them as well. They do studies and feasibility. It's a very technical document. It was 85 pages long of lots of charts and graphs, which is why I haven't quite gotten around to reviewing it yet. But there's a lot of science involved, which is really interesting. Actually, cloud seeding is often referred to as weather modification. So,
I have one question.
Any questions?
How long has Santa Barbara County been doing it, Jill?
I want to say since the 80s.
Okay.
And they haven't done it like every single year.
Yeah.
Sometimes you put it in place and you wait. Mm-hmm. And so they may have funded it and then maybe only gone up into only cloud seeded maybe 3 storms. Because if it's not the right kind of storm or it's not coming from the right direction, there's a lot of factors. So that's why the cost benefit analysis has to be done, because it's actually a really critical component in deciding whether you move forward or not.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Ed, question?
Pablo? Quick question. On the CEQA document, has there been any discussion about the ability to use the emergency as a way of moving forward with it more quickly?
I haven't talked to our environmental division yet, manager, about that, whether we could do something like... that's a good question. I don't know. We haven't moved that far into the discussions yet.
Director Gary, question?
Oh, you know, from my perspective, I remember the last time this came before the committee. It's probably been 15 years ago. And at the time, the presentation was that the cost-benefit ratio was very good, probably something on the order of $30 or $40 an acre foot, if that. And so I'm kind of thinking that we need to do what we need to do to get it so it's on the shelf and ready to go, rather than get occasional reports. Perhaps we ought to try to get it on the front burner so we get the process going so it's ready.
Actually, I just saw your question. Santa Barbara has been doing this since 1986.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment that I think every one of us here was probably thinking, we're kind of shocked when you said 2 to 3 years out. And I think it's a no-brainer that we should have something on the shelf, unless it's super, super expensive to have something sitting there that you might never use. But I don't know. I don't. What does it cost to? Do you have any idea what it costs to do this week's CEQA report?
I kind of do. I have numbers here, and I actually met with Santa Barbara County several years ago because we were looking into this. And
we're not going to hold you to an exact number either.
Just because I'm on the record being videoed now. roughly, for a program, it was about $300,000 a year for Santa Barbara. That's how much for, and they do like an air and ground. So part of a cloud seeding can be, they actually put little, lack of a better word, rockets on top of mountains, and they shoot them off into the sky. That's one part. Huh. And then the other component can be the flight, where the person is, they go up into the air. The air-based one is more effective but more expensive because the timing is really, really critical for how, when you get up into the air, you have to pay to have a pilot and a plane and all the supplies on board. For example, if you thought that you were going to seed in the months of January, February, March, you have to pay a plane and a pilot to basically live like at the Santa Maria Airport for 3 months. With the hope that you get some storms that you can seed. So, but they did see, it looked like there was, they had anywhere from 9 to 21% increase in precipitation. So, and then when you put that dollar amount to the number of acre feet, that's where you get Jim's number, which I believe that was what I had read as well, that it was somewhere on the order of, $30-$40 an acre foot to get this extra water.
Did you say 300,000 per year, or that was one time to do the CEQA report?
No, it's I'm assuming that number is assuming you did your CEQA.
Uh-huh.
And you've got your thing, you've got your program, on the ready to go, and you go, yep, this year we're going to go out and cloud seed. You're looking at probably $300,000.
Okay.
And that's about what Santa Barbara used, and I actually, because I don't know that, they do Twitchell, they did also multiple watersheds. So, but that will all come out. TAC will get this report, and you'll be able to, we can probably summarize it or something a little bit better.
Yeah, on the timing for CEQA, was that more based on feedback from Monterey County as opposed to Santa Barbara County?
No, I think that was sort of the 1 year time frame for CEQA, I believe, came from Santa Barbara County. Monterey had a program in the 70s. And through 70s, I think up until the early 90s, but I don't remember what.
Yeah.
I don't think they had.
So a period of time, I sat on the Monterey County Water Resources, the Reservoir Operations Committee, and the challenge that they had, which was CEQA, was that they went to implement their program a few years back. They had a fire that predated that. Yeah, and a lot of property owners were concerned about landslides. Mm. And so they litigated Monterey County's actions.
Yeah.
But that seemed kind of unique. That's why I'm hoping that the drought emergency and might be able to help us expedite us the efforts. And I wouldn't anticipate that we would see the same litigation that they saw in Monterey County.
The Santa Barbara, when I spoke to them, the first CEQA document they did, they said it was quite the challenge publicly because, there's concern for people's, I guess, health related to putting silver iodide up in the sky, which I don't know what those are, and that was just sort of some feedback they gave us. So the first time that they got their CEQA document going, it was a challenge, but after that, when they would go back to get them renewed or rewrite them, it was a lot simpler process.
Director Waggy.
It just seems to me, too, though, if as the storms march down the coast, if we could share resources with Santa Barbara County or with Monterey County, the plane could chase the storm all the way down the coast,
right.
And we could certainly, everyone could save a lot of money, it seems to me.
And I believe that is part of the study that we did.
Okay.
That they did is something like, okay, now could you cost share with them?
Sure.
They have a different, yeah. And I think that's written up in the study. I haven't gotten that far into the report. So I think that's definitely, in terms of sharing between Lopez and Santa Barbara, definitely I can see an easy nexus because we probably reap some benefits from their program already without just because the watersheds are so close together. But if we were to start talking about Salinas, now we really are, you know, we're moving
right.
a little farther north. So, but yeah, I think I definitely think that we would be partnering with them because it would
sure.
absolutely
okay, thank
make
you.
Sense.
Any other director comments? Thank you, Jill. All righty, so our next item is the Carpenter Creek Footbridge Replacement Project. We have a staff report, and I believe this is just an information item.
Yes,
is that correct?
And it's presented by Jill.
Yeah, yeah, I'm it for today. I actually, I wanted to bring this to you because I know that I think it was back in, I probably put it in my staff report, but it was a while back, and Dave Flynn and I believe Mark Hutchinson came to your Zone 3 and said that they had asked for approval to spend $30,000 on a Meadow Creek, you know, sort of a drainage project. And there was some discussion about that and whether it was appropriate. But in the end, the Zone 3 advisory group agreed to use some of your designated reserves, $30,000 worth, to fund this project. So I just wanted to bring it back to you so you could see the results and It turned out very nice. The Public Works Department did all the work, so we didn't hire a contractor. It was all county forces that did the work. And if we get some rain, we'll be able to test it out. But so I just wanted you to know that your money did go to something good, and so you could see the pictures, the before and after.
Ahead of schedule and under budget, huh?
Under budget, and I don't know what their schedule was, but it's done before the rainy season, so whoopee.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, there you go.
Any questions from committee members on that?
I don't have any questions. You just may want to make a point that there is no public here, so that's why we're having no public comment.
Oh, thank you.
You just have staff here.
So if you have no further questions on that, I did... I have a couple update if you're interested a little bit on the capital projects. It update that I got from Joshua Roberts, who is our capital projects manager. And since we are kind of have quite a few projects going on in Zone 3 related to the water treatment plant, I can go briefly over kind of where we're at. We have a couple completed projects, so this is good. We'll start with the good news, and that's we had some variable frequency drive replacements, and we've completed those, and they're operating as of the beginning of October. So that was a major accomplishment. The Lopez Dam, we had a Division of Safety DSOD project that they wanted us to complete on the it was on the spillway, and we completed that, and that's all looking good. Other project updates, things that are in the works, is we're still working on finishing our SCADA project, and that's, I think, Oceano is the last turnout that we're currently trying to get done, and then once we get Oceano's completed, we'll be done with that project. One of the things we had brought to you was what we call our membrane strainer replacement project. These are there's three large strainers that were terribly corroded, and with the water hardness that we've been experiencing at the plant, several things were being affected, and so we've now ordered those, but we cannot get them until the end of February. Long lead time for something really like this. They're very large, and they're, you know, manufactured for us at specific tolerances. It's complicated, but so that's coming at the end of February. If there's anything else more notable, we're still planning on doing some parking and roadway resurfacing, and that's kind of in design. We hope that it'll get in with the county's overall paving projects. And so I think that would be done probably in March. We have
We're in the process of diving the intakes, and I told you about that. And as we also mentioned, I believe it was at the last meeting, because we approved, or you approved, a $625,000 pH suppression project, that there were a number of projects that got deferred, and they are still deferred. That board letter that will go to the asking for that budget adjustment goes on December 13th. And that's where we'll get additional money will be allocated towards that project. And we are also in the process of, we're very close to implementing our kind of immediate short-term fix for our pH problem. I expect that we will have that operational maybe December. So excited to see what that does for our water, for the hardness of the water, and how that helps out at the plant. And I believe that's all I have on capital projects.
As I recall, Jill, at the TAC, mm-hmm. Craig reported that operations staff reported that the water quality had actually gotten a slightly better. And so it was requiring less maintenance on some of these parts.
Yeah.
Talk briefly about that.
So I think back in the summer, probably at its worst, the pH of the water was as high as 8.0. It was going up around 8.6, 8.7. Now it's back down to 8.2 just by itself for whatever reason. So that's been helping us out. However, we really want to operate probably closer in the sevens. So probably around, I think ideally we would try to hit 7.8, I believe. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what we're shooting for. And as if we don't get any rain, I imagine that the water quality of this lower water, you know, the water gets warmer, we get more algae, it's sort of a vicious circle. So it's getting better by itself, but we still have a problem that we need to address.
Any committee members, board members, questions on CIP? Jim?
Just one, Jill. The item that's going to the board on the 13th for the budget adjustment, that's basically a staff report, and you don't need any testimony on behalf of that?
No. What goes into the board letter is that we took it to the Zone 3 advisory group and that you recommended that we move forward with this. So that's written into the board letter under other agency involvement.
Is it scheduled as a consent item, or will it be
yes.
hearing a consent item?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess I maybe could speak for the board if it gets pulled off or if you need some testimony.
Okay.
Jim
yeah,
would
I'll
love.
Let you know.
Jim would love to go. He has lots of spare time.
Shouldn't be necessary.
No, it sounds like that's very good. Thank you, Jill. We have no action items with subsequent. Wording on this is tricky for me.
It's like a double negative.
No action items.
We have no items that
that don't need the Board of Supervisors. But we do have one, number 9, that will go to the Board of Supes based
yes.
on the committee's recommendation.
Right. And then we'll be taking roll call following a motion if there is one.
Okay. Thank you. Take it away, Jill.
In your packet is a staff report from myself. Regarding a consultant that we have currently working for us on the HCP, who has done a lot of baseline modeling for us of the reservoir, and through that, and they're doing that for us related to the habitat conservation plan that we're working on, and what we call downstream, some type of downstream release program that would satisfy. That works for how we operate the dam as well as satisfies nymphs and for the steelhead. So during the process of taking this to the TAC and the baseline models, it kind of came up that that maybe we might want to consider some water supply contract changes. And as we talked about that at the TAC, it was sort of identified that this could have a significant impact on the HCP and that modeling, so that in order to move forward with the HCP and the downstream release program, the agencies said, well, we want to also know how would this affect these potential contract changes that we're thinking about. So in order to do that modeling, we asked the consultant, ECOR, to give us a proposal to do modeling of some possible scenarios related to these contract changes and to work with the advisory, to work with TAC closely so that they can get what they want out of this. The proposal came back at $113,545. And one of the ways that we can fund this that Christy identified is that we could use the 15-16 credits to fund this. So the chart in your staff report there shows that at the moment the credits are at $171,077.99. And if we were to use the credits to fund the ECOR contract, the division between each of the agencies is shown there. And then you can see that the remainder of what the credits would be if you agree to do this. And the obvious thing, I believe, is that why is CSA 12 negative? And that is because the final credit billing is based on we budget certain amount of work that we're going to do, and you're billed for it. And at the end of the year, we go, oh, we didn't spend that much, and that whatever the difference is a credit. Well, this year we did a lot more work in CSA 12. We had some valves that we replaced down at Port San Luis, and so their O&M costs on that part of the line were higher than what was budgeted and billed, so they actually owe money. So that is why they have a negative. So that's the explanation. Everybody else had a larger credit, and so you'll still have some credit once you allow the ECOR contract to be paid by the credits.
Just on behalf of CSA 12, then, is that the new meters that were installed, perhaps?
There's several things.
There was a line break down on Avila Beach Drive. Does that?
I'd have to look at all the items, but I know one of the things is there was a cluster of valves that somewhere between Port San Luis, Avila Beach, it was a cluster of four or five valves that had to be taken out, and that was I don't know that we budgeted for that. So it may have been something that we had to do and didn't realize it, or maybe they did some other work. I didn't look to the details of that.
But those types of repairs or services get apportioned to whatever leg of the distribution system you're on. So it's a fair cost. Thank you. Any questions on the modeling contract and retaining ECOR to do this work from the committee members? This has been ran by the TAC a couple of times, submitted comments on it, and at the last TAC meeting it was recommended for approval.
I think that the TAC definitely wants to do the modeling. That's clear. How it's funded is really up to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee.
Yeah, I was going to comment this is something we were expecting, since we knew by the fact we were going to do things differently with the lake on storage and so forth. We knew we'd have to make an addendum to this contract, and now we have it in front of us. So I support it.
Pablo, questions, comments? No? Again, we'll note that we have no public here for public comment. So I guess we could roll call vote for this one. I guess we need a motion first.
I'll make a motion that that we go forward with the staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Okay, we'll do roll call. Vice Chair Ikeda?
I'm going to abstain since I don't really have any, feel like there's, I don't have any skin in the game, I guess, as we put it here, so I'll abstain.
Okay, noted. Member Gehring?
Yes.
Member Bright?
Yes.
Chairman Hingman?
Yes.
Member Barnage?
Yes.
And Member Waggy?
Yes.
You got a couple more, but we're yes. I'm yes.
Member Ogren. I'm sorry, I don't mean to do that.
And Mr. Gehring.
Or hey,
you got him.
You got your vote?
We got, okay. Yeah, she got me.
It's because you came in late and didn't do it the first time.
It's
really all your fault.
You have to announce your presence.
You're not even really here.
No. The record will show. Director Ogren is here. All right, thank you all for that. So we're future agenda items. It's kind of our standing list of items. I don't know if there's any anyone wants to, any of the directors want to add anything to that at this point.
I think my quick comments are the contract renegotiation discussions are really on hold for this E-Corp evaluation and the HCP, because that's the environmental work that has to be done before we can really get serious about contract renegotiation discussions. And then on the funding of the groundwater modeling, a number of the staff with the different agencies met with the county on November 4th in order to start working on the scope of work. And I think we'll probably be looking at an action on that in maybe January or March.
Has that gone to the TAC? Not yet.
Yeah, I know there's been some discussions at the TAC, and but a number of us separately met with Courtney Howard in your department in order to start moving that forward. The issue I think that the advisory committee is going to need to consider is that the original funding plan has changed. We were all envisioning one-third, one-third, one-third on the groundwater modeling between Northern Cities Management Area, the county, and the north, and the Mesa, Napomo Mesa Management Area. The Mesa hasn't contributed any funds yet, but the Regional Water Board has allocated $221,000 as part of the fines that were levied against South County Sanitation District. So I can't remember what the total fine amount was, but a big chunk of that has been dedicated back for the groundwater modeling. So it's really the change in the funding plan that I think the Zone 3 Advisory Committee needs to consider. But the money is there, and the technical work on getting that scope of work together and how to tackle the groundwater modeling is ongoing right now.
So at the January meeting, speaking of future agenda items, will be your budget, some sort of a preliminary budget, and we'll be bringing potential capital improvement projects to the TAC in December and refining them maybe in January, and the whole budget back to this group at the end of January.
So that's the 17-18?
Correct, 17-18
budget. Slow
down,
slow down.
Would you please talk to her? She's driving the bus.
She's driving the bus.
She's making us work now.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing in nine months. Are you kidding?
I guess also from a logistical standpoint, for this meeting and the election cycle, for what to expect for January, do we rotate?
We rotate
the chair and vice chair.
Let
me turn this on. So we don't rotate representation unless the city that is being represented here, the agency, tells us that somebody else will be taking their place. So it's not something we automatically do every January. However, I'll stick with that. So it's not something that we do every January unless someone else has been elected and you would like that person to sit in your place.
And the council members Well, I guess they'll figure that out as far as what committees and whatnot. Does that go on in the December, January meetings for y'all?
Yeah, but the sooner I know, the better, because I have to take the item to the Board of Supervisors, so I need to get it on in their agenda, and that takes several weeks.
Okay.
And you turned, right?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. I think everyone here would like to see cloud seeding stay on the agenda and keep pushing on it. You know, Jim said it was, he remembers 15 years ago it being on the agenda. This is kind of like turning into the HCP thing again. So, you know, if we get a lot of rain 2-3 years in a row, everyone will forget mm-hmm. again. But we need to keep on it.
Yeah, that does seem like something we want to, like you said, and just not to get too far ahead of ourselves. I was thinking about the Cambria plant where they adopted. They, under emergency, went through the CEQA process, and now they're going back to look at long-term operation of it. So that may be an angle, but again, we're getting way in front of ourselves as far as how we might push that ahead a little bit faster, mm-hmm. or how the county might help us with that. So, any other committee member comments?
So Measure E passed City of Aroy Grande, so we can purchase state water in the locally declared emergency as per the city council. So 86% voted for it. And we couldn't do a lot of outreach because you can't. So we just did informational outreach. And so that's very exciting. So at least we'll have that in our back pocket. So.
Your voters get it.
Usually, yes, they do. Yes. It's good news. That's it for me.
Okay. Others?
Well, I think that we should thank Ms. Bright for her work on
That's
the
right.
committee.
Absolutely. It's her last meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, certainly. You. It's been swell.
living in the water world now.
Mm. Yes, it's really run the gamut. I'll tell you, when I first This is one of my first assignments when I was appointed in 2007, and it wasn't nearly as exciting then as it is now, that's mm-hmm. for sure. But it's always been exciting to me, actually, even though I didn't understand it then. But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, so the next meeting will be January 19th at the City of Grover Beach.
And we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.